Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, Gary. I hear Jim, and I heard Troy. Is that correct?
Yes.
Who else is here?
You hear Patrick.
Patrick. What's going on,
What's
Patrick?
Up, buddy? Good. How are you, sir?
Good. Tammy? Is Tammy here? Hi, Patrick. Let me ask you two questions, Patrick, before we start, okay?
Okay.
One, are you single? You don't know. Okay, that answers that.
Right now. I'll fill you in later.
Okay. The reason I ask is because Patrick got into a relationship a little while ago. So I'm just curious, just an update. And two, how are you doing with the book?
It's good. I emailed it to you both. They're done.
Yeah, I saw them. I saw them. That's why I'm curious. Are you selling them yet?
I'm sorry?
Are you selling them yet?
No, not yet. They're done. I know I emailed you because I want you to check it out and see.
I checked it out. You put a lot of work in there. There's a lot in there.
It took a lot in there. It was everything, like, and you could see, like, you taught me a lot in there and all that. So let me know if there's anything else, you know,
okay,
to improve what you thought. So I appreciate it. Thank you. But, yeah, it was definitely get that done. For years I wanted to replicate myself some way, you know, and then because I've always had a challenge of trying to find places to work out here in San Diego as far as finding gyms. And there's one, unless you're an employee of a gym, like there's 24-hour fitness and LA Fitness. I believe there's 24 fitnesses in San Diego. Okay, alone. You have LA Fitness,
right,
and small gyms are pretty much gone. So I wound up going back to the old world gym that I was going to and trying to work out of building properties and things like that. And it's always a challenge, you know, with that. So I just want to get something replicated where I just expand my reach.
Okay.
Start doing something online. I can do workshops and all that stuff. So.
Sounds good. I like it. Okay. Last time I spoke about the new concept I have for, I call it the new medical model. And I think you can tell that I was not only excited about it, but I was immersing myself in it. So as of, I don't want to say a whole lot because there's still a lot that has to happen, but I would say as of 2 weeks from now, I will have two facilities, one in Fort Lauderdale and one in North Palm Beach, both running the integration between fitness, personal training, and medicine. So not only did I share it with you guys, but I'm acting on it, and I really think the timing is ideal. And as with everything that I introduce, you know, the only thing holding you back is fear. Because what I'm sharing with you most of the time is not what most personal trainers are aware of or hearing about. So there's an intimidation factor, you know, and I've heard Tony say, I'm going to wait until it takes hold. I don't mean this specifically. I mean with several things. And so, well, if you wait, you're missing the boat. So I'm just telling all of you right now that I'm not telling you jump in tomorrow. I'm just saying start to get in your mind that you can have this opportunity to connect with doctors at a level that I never even saw before, and it is just ridiculously opportune. I have just seen the shift in the relationship between what we do, I don't want to say between personal trainers, but between what we do and what the doctor does. So let me ask a question, and somebody just answer it, whether or not you're confident in your answer. When a individual, man or woman, starts to recognize symptoms that show that they're deteriorating, what does the patient want? Maybe a silly question, but what does the patient want? I'm going to give you just a real life scenario. Usually it goes like this. Their energy starts to drop. This will happen over the course of 2 years. They just kind of chalk it up. Then their memory goes a little bit, not majorly. I don't mean they have a real memory deficit, but I mean they just start to go, oh, man, can't remember anything anymore. And then they'll make silly excuses. You know, when you have kids, they take your memory or had a senior moment or whatever it is that they say. But the fact is they're just not as sharp as they were. But then usually some real symptom shows up. It could be a sudden weight gain. And I don't mean a massive weight gain, but 7 pounds show up and they just don't seem to be able to get rid of them. And they find maybe that when they wake up, they feel like they have sort of a flu, even though it passes by the time they have their coffee. But then something else is a trigger, like they start to get headaches or they get some kind of rash or something that makes them go to the doctor. What does the patient want?
Well, to feel better and get back to where they once were.
Right. Exactly right, Troy. You nailed it. Now, why am I applauding you for nailing it? It seems so obvious, right? What do you think the doctor thinks the patient wants?
Some type of medicine.
Yep. Exactly right. So from that, look how far apart they are. The person wants to get back. This is really important. Troy said they want to get back to the way they felt. But the doctor doesn't even explore that. It's not even in the doctor's mind that they should sit down and ask the patient about their background. They may ask background specific. If the person comes in limping, they might go, did you have a fall? that they would ask. But not where'd you grow up, what did you do for a living. They don't ask those things. So let's understand, again, how far apart they are. The patient really wants to get back to where they once were. The doctor believes the patient wants medication. In most cases, what does the patient leave with?
Prescription.
Yeah. So the doctor is not happy. The doctor did his job. It's what he does. Another one. Check it off the list. The patient is not happy because the patient didn't get what he or she wants. That's our medical system. That is, in a nutshell, our medical system. The doctor believes the patient wants a drug. I'm not just pulling this out of my ass. When I speak in medical conferences, I ask. I go, whose fault is it that people are so deconditioned today? And they go, it's the patient's fault. I go, no, okay, well, obviously. They need responsibility, right? Doctors go, right. And I go, well, what do they want? They go, they want a drug. No, they don't. But that's what the doctors really believe. Who convinced the doctors that the patients want a drug?
Drug companies.
Exactly right. So it is mass hypnosis that has created this gold mine. Now, let's be fair and let's acknowledge that people are living longer today because they could live longer with cancer. They could live longer with COPD. They could live longer with diabetes. They could live longer with heart disease. And part of that is because of drugs. But let's go back to what the patient wants. The patient doesn't want to live longer sick. The patient wants to go back. And the doctors don't even fathom that they should even discuss this. If the doctor were to truly help people and give them what they want, what would the doctor have to do?
Spend more time with them. Ask better questions.
Yeah. Spend more time and ask better questions. So now let's try to imagine this as a future. Let's suppose there is a real-world scenario where a patient comes in and a doctor sits down and spends 90 minutes asking better questions. Troy, what might be some of the questions that a doctor wouldn't typically ask now, but would absolutely be valuable?
Well, lifestyle. You need to know about their lifestyle.
Yeah, like what? Like what questions?
I don't know.
Do you eat right? Do you exercise?
Yeah, and more specific than that, do you eat right is not really a good question because people don't know what eat right means. So what might be a better question in line with that?
All right, you're eating fruits and vegetables and lean proteins and healthy fats regularly throughout the day. Are you exercising?
Yeah, Gary, can you make it more open-ended because that's a yes or no question. How can you ask that question more open-ended?
Okay. How much vegetables do you eat a day?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really measure it.
Can you tell me what you actually have for breakfast?
Good. What a great question. What a great question.
Yeah, this is what I do all day long.
I know. So let's imagine that scenario that the doctor says, what'd you have for breakfast today? Do you eat vegetables? Tell me about the vegetables you eat. How about sugar? Do you snack a lot? What do you typically have for lunch? Where do you buy the bread? Good. What do you do for a living? Do you sit at a desk all day or you move around?
Do you do drugs?
What kind of chair do you sit in? What is the environment like? Do you go for a walk during the workday? Do you ever go for a walk? What do you do when you get home? How many hours do you sleep every night? I know you came in here because you have headaches, but how does your gut feel? Tell me a little about your digestion. Are there certain foods that make you feel that way? Who do you live with? How many kids do you have? How does that impact your sense of freedom? What do you think eating better would mean for you? Tell me what you do for exercise. How often? What difference does it make for you? Who do you hang out with? What do they do? Where do you go? What do you do on weekends? Man, wouldn't these be really good questions for a doctor to ask? Yes,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you why. Because the patient wants to get back to where they were. And the doctor doesn't do a little to help them get back to where they were. The doctor does nothing to help them get back to where they were. And if you think I'm exaggerating, I'm not. I'm being completely real and serious right now.
Phil, I just went to the doctor a couple of days ago, and I can attest to that. She didn't ask me any of those questions.
You went because you had an issue with your blood pressure?
Yeah. She didn't ask me about my diet.
So she checked your blood pressure?
She checked my blood pressure. It was already prescribed, but she just, you know, reviewed it. She printed out these forms, though, heart healthy diet.
That she gives to everybody, same forms, right?
It's the same form. And it's
standard forms in the AMA, yep.
And it's inaccurate, the form. If you saturate fat, it's no good for you. That's
right.
One of the things, I think. So, I mean,
it's outdated. It's old science that isn't true, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. She didn't ask me any of those other questions you said. None. She's not interested in that. She was more interested in writing up the prescription to the pharmacy for me.
But this is the weird thing that I want you to understand. It's not a matter of her personal interest. It's that that's what she believes she's supposed to do because that's what she was taught to do because somehow in her mind she believes that what you want is a prescription. I mean, if you ask me, it is completely crazy.
It is.
Now, personal trainers learn to conduct safe and effective exercise programs. I think we get very lost in taking time to understand effective. Because what do people want?
They want to
we
get
just
back
said it.
To where they were. Yeah, they want to get back to where they were. They want to feel good again.
Does something just seem very wrong with both ends of this? Man, the reason I named the ALIVE protocol ALIVE is because it stands for aggressive lifestyle interventional variable exercise. Why aggressive? Because I learned in my training that we have to be careful with special populations because we don't want to injure them. The perfect example of a completely impotent program is Silver Sneakers. Is anybody familiar with Silver Sneakers?
Yes.
Can you describe it? Just what you know about it?
It's a gradual, progressive type of workout for older people. It's very mild exercises.
They sit in chairs.
They sit in chairs, right. They don't really do much. But they're moving. So I guess it's a start. I don't know. It depends on the
Okay, well, good. It's a start. So is our job to deliver safe and effective exercise or to give people a start? We're missing the mark just like the doctors are.
I think our job is to take them where they are at their present situation and bring them to where they want to go.
Right. So why are you taking somebody to a gym and sitting them in a chair? I'm going to tell you why. Because you don't want to hurt them and because they're worried about lawsuits. And Humana Insurance feels like they're less likely to have an incident if at least they're getting out of the house and doing something. But are we getting these people back to where they were? No. God, man, I know people. You know, it's interesting to be at this point in life because I'm 58 years old. So the people now who were like, 40 when I was 20, they're like 70s and they're fitness people. Honestly, I mean, I know personal trainers now who are 70 plus. So it's a complete reprogramming of what we used to think was possible. But in Silver Sneakers, the 70-year-old is sitting in a chair holding one-pound dumbbells. So safe, of course, we don't want to kill anybody. But I got them doing an all-out burst for 12 seconds. Why? Because it works.
I have a 7-year-old doing pull-ups.
There you go.
Just did pull-ups with a band, but, I mean, and burpees and squats and everything that I...
So let's listen better now when we talk to people about the need. So when you say to somebody, tell me what you're looking for in your exercise program, and they go, I wish I had more energy. I'm going to fill in the missing words. Really what they're saying is, I wish I had more energy like I used to have. If they go, I wish I had a leaner body, really what they're saying is, I wish I had a leaner body like I used to have. I wish I had a greater command of movement that I could move around and run and play with my grandchildren. Really what they're saying is, I wish I had a greater command of movement like I used to have. I wish I felt well. Fill in the rest of that, like I used to. What people want is to go back. I'm not telling you anything that you didn't already know, but I'm just giving you a different perspective because this is where the opportunity lies, to truly recognize what people want. If you went to a doctor who is operating in the conventional allopathic medical system and you said, I have a new idea for a model, you're going to spend 45 minutes talking to a patient about what they ate for breakfast and what they did when they were 20 years old, the doctor is going to go, get away, you are crazy, I never want you near my facility again. But it's exactly what needs to happen. The patient would love it. Imagine if a patient went to a doctor expecting the 7 minutes in the office and the prescription, and the doctor's really interested, taking notes, listening to everything. That would be a massive paradigm shift. Now, let's be real. Why can't the doctor do it? Because if the doctor spends 45 minutes talking to every patient, and they're getting a $20 copay, the doctor's making $180 in a day. And he has an office to support. So he can't do that unless he has a different model. You guys can have the different model. So whether or not you wind up connecting with a doctor, I want you to understand the void in the marketplace. So if you were about to help, let me pick a random number, 14 people. Let's just say 14 people, if your assignment was help 14 people between now and January 1st, so they are prepared to be in the best shape possible in 2019. Let's just, for the sake of play, pretend that you have an opportunity within your schedule to fit in 14 people, and you have from now until January 15th to coach them once a week. Could you get them what they want?
Coaching them once a week?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Who said absolutely?
I don't know about that.
Okay. Gary's not sure. Who said absolutely?
There's a lot of variables.
Wait, Gary, hold on. Who said absolutely?
I did. Troy.
Troy. Okay. You say absolutely if you had 30 minutes now, I'm saying, once a week to coach someone from now through January 15th, you could get them to move back toward what they want, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Do it all the time.
Assuming that they're doing what you say, yeah.
Well, you know, Gary, that's always going to be the case. Like, this is what will separate a trainer who goes, I can't help anybody, I can't control what they do, from the one who's willing to guarantee results. It's the belief that you have the ability to inspire, to motivate, to empower. So that's a given. You know, they have to be willing to play with you. They can't just listen to you and get the change. But if you're truly coaching them, let's just say you have a client and the client says, I never eat breakfast and I have a roast beef sandwich every day for lunch with a ton of mayonnaise. And you go, okay, here's what I want you to do. The first start is we got to get you to eat a decent breakfast. Let's figure it out. I want you to have some whole milk, grass-fed, plain yogurt with a handful of colorful berries every morning when you get out of bed. I just want you to do that. And for lunch, instead of the roast beef sandwich, I just want you to have a salad with at least 5 or 6 different ingredients and a protein, either chicken or egg or tuna or something. Okay? So you give them that. And you go, I'm not going to talk to you about anything else because we have until January 15th. So that's the change I want you to make this week. Now, they come back the next week. What is the first thing you're going to ask them?
Did you change your diet? Did you eat what
yeah.
I said?
Right. Now, if they say, no, I didn't eat breakfast all week, and you say, well, what'd you have for lunch? They go, I had my roast beef sandwich. Then, okay, this is either somebody who you need to play hardball with right now and say, listen, if you don't make the changes, I can't help you. So you literally fire them, or they make the change. So that's a given. So let's go under the assumption that you have the power to influence people and or you're selecting the right people. Then can you bring them progress toward back where they used to be if you saw them once a week, 30 minutes through January 15th?
Yeah.
Jim, what do you think?
I think so.
Patrick, what do you think?
100%. Without question. And you just gave me an idea, like something that may work. I don't know what you think about it, but when you're organizing groups, maybe an idea is like when you have people signed up, you fill out the forms, have a questionnaire and try to find out which motivational type they are, the 18 motivational types.
Sure. But not it's not a questionnaire, Patrick. It's conversation.
Right.
It's got to come from conversation.
That way you could find out, okay, this person's visual, chrysalis, you know, moves away or whatever. And then as you before you do the presentations or when you want to meet before you meet each week, you find out which individual might be a stubborn one or tough and any kind of
I think you find it out on your feet as you're having the conversation. I don't think you need to know that in advance. I think
okay.
The more you do this, the better you get at just recognizing who's in front of you.
Wow.
So
okay.
In order to do this with 14 people, theoretically, what do you need? You need 14 people. What do you need to determine if the sea of people out there will become one of your 14? Well, you need an interview. You literally need to interview people. How else will you know? So the patient wants, just reiterating, the patient wants to get back to where they used to be. The patient is led to a medication. And the doctor, if they really wanted to help the patient get what the patient wants, would need to sit down with the patient and do some kind of interview, right? That's what we discerned in the first 15 minutes. What do you need if you want to take 14 people? We could change a number. It can be 30 people. It can be 6 people, but I'm using 14. What do you need if you're going to commit to help 14 people make 2019 the year they get back to where they were? You need an interview with every single one of them. I'm not talking about a group. I'm not talking about a seminar. I'm not talking about a webinar. You need an interview.
Consultation.
Okay. Now, why are most people failing to get the result they want?
They don't know what to do.
And one of the things that I cannot help being upset or offended by is how many people call themselves coaches. You know, I know, like, if I were giving myself advice, I go, Phil, get over it. Like, that's the way of the world right now. But when I look at some of these people, and I look at their credential, their experience, their clients, like, what business do you have to coach people? What are you coaching them toward? Eating less. Honestly, I meet nutrition coaches, health coaches. They're talking to people about calorie deprivation. That's a coach? And what they say, and this is the hook line for all of them, everyone needs a coach. And then they'll typically go, even I have my coaches. Well, I agree with that. I agree everyone needs a coach. Because if people are failing because they don't know what to do,
this door here.
They need a coach. But they need a coach who knows what to do. You're that coach. So people need a coach. You need an interview. Assuming that you were going to coach 14 people, what can you coach them in? Tell me one thing. I'll start. Mindset. What else?
Eating better.
Nutrition. Yeah. Exercise.
Okay. So we have mindset, nutrition, exercise. What else?
Stress management.
Stress management, right. What else?
Some lifestyle changes, obviously.
Okay.
Like, you know,
they also need to be coached. They need to be coached in what works for them. They need to be coached in what works for them. Because when you have somebody who's maladapted, somebody who is in a hormonal imbalance, somebody whose stress load far exceeds recovery, and their buddy, who's in great shape, takes them to the gym, they're not getting what they need. They're getting the opposite. They're going to overtrain, increase stress load, and be worse, and then feel horribly guilty. Why can't I be in great shape like my friend? So this is why they really need a true coach who's a specialist, who can coach them in what works for them, who can help them correct their mistakes, who can guide them with psychology. I'll tell you just a little side note. About 2 years ago, I was working with a friend, and we decided to have some of the fish oil products analyzed. And what we found, we bought the products in Walmart, CVS, and one other store. It was a supermarket store in Atlanta, and I can't remember the name of it. And we got them to a lab, and in, I don't remember the percentage, but I'll say almost all of them, the fish oil was rancid, was spoiled, was bad. So everybody hears that fish oil is good. They don't know why. They don't know what it does. They just heard fish oil is good. So they're going to buy the least expensive fish oil. And here's what I'm telling you. The fish oil that's least expensive is not good. In fact, it's bad, literally. I'm giving you that as a single example. I would guess that if they buy probiotics in those stores, and we were to examine the probiotics, we would find very little life in there. because they are stored for a long period of time, usually in heat. And they're packed in capsules or powders that do not contain anything for the probiotics to sustain or live on. So it's kind of like if you put fish in a bowl and never gave them food. Sooner or later, you're going to have dead fish. These are realities, and these are common realities. So when I say they need a coach, they need a coach. Because when I ask people what they're taking, man, they give me a list. And when I ask them, what is this for, they don't even know. So they need to be coached in mindset and psychology and exercise, stress management, nutrition, coaching what works. They got to learn to correct the mistakes they're making. They need to be coached in supplementation, all of it. And there are so many people out there calling themselves coaches who don't even know. And the craziest part of all is when the people don't get the result, it's no different than them going to the doctor. They blame themselves. Rather than the person recognizing that their buddy gets a result from training this way because their buddy's in great shape, they go, oh, well, it's my rotten genetics. I just suck. No, they just have the wrong coach. Their buddy never learned to be a coach. So I think we are at an incredibly opportune time. Not only a time in history, because the doors have swung wide open for us to take positions within the world of medicine, but also the time of year, because we're zeroing in on Thanksgiving. So the time period between Thanksgiving and New Year's is for most fitness businesses, aside from those that sell equipment or apparel, because they make a lot of money with Christmas gifts, but for most conventional fitness service businesses, they take a hit. Most health clubs take a big hit after Thanksgiving. So they come to expect it. You know, the owner goes on vacation in December. They just kind of write it off, and they go, oh, we're going to have a great January. Some personal training studios lose their clientele by two-thirds in the last 3 weeks of December. And they're accepting of that because January is around the corner. I see this as the most opportune time because I can predict the future. I know what's going to happen. People are going to get fatter. You know it too. We have two-thirds of our population concerned with the fact that they're overweight, and those very people will be more overweight come January 1st. Here's what else I know because I can predict the future. A great many of them will make New Year's resolutions that they will not stick to. Why? Because they're attempting to change with a flawed approach. They don't have a good coach. So what an incredible opportunity for the 500 or 2,000 people in a six-mile radius of you right now who are going to fall victim. What a great opportunity for them to have you as a coach. But now we have a challenge. You charge $125 a session three times a week. That would be $375. That's $1,500 a month. We're talking about November and December. That's $3,000. They don't have that. They have to buy Christmas gifts. They don't have that. So even if you convince them that it's a good thing to do, they'll go, wait till January, which is the worst thing that they could do because in January they'll be worse. So we just agreed that if you had somebody from now until January, you could get them back toward where they were. Now the question becomes, what is it worth and how do we make it affordable? So, suppose you reached out to all of the people who you knew had some interest and you said, I will coach you from now until January so that you will not be worse off through the holiday season. In fact, by January, while everyone else is worse, you'll be on your way to being back where you wanted to be. And I will do it for free. Could you get 14 people to say yes?
Sure.
Is there anybody here who doesn't think they could do that? Nine people here. I just heard Troy.
That's because I think I can do it. You asked, is there anyone here that thinks they can't?
Okay.
So I'm on board.
Now, it brings us to the next little hurdle. We don't want to do this for free because then our value is zero and they don't pay any money and they don't stick to it. So we can't ask them for $3,000 and we can't do it for free. So what do? We offer it for $50 a session. $50 a session. If you want to now move into paralysis by analysis, I'll tell you how to do it. I'm going to help you get yourself stuck if you'd like. I'm saying 30 minutes of $50. So you could now start these questions in your head. What will I do for 30 minutes? What will it be, exercise? Well, do I have to drive to them? Could I do it by Skype? Well, if I do it by Skype, am I obligated to show them exercises? What if I talk to them for 30 minutes and they don't know what to do? Then I have to write them up a workout. Is it worth my time? And then they're going to call me and text me and ask me questions. If you start to do that, it's going to be the worst idea in the world. So if you want to do that, do it on your own time, not on mine. I want you to reverse that position and realize the value of what you're offering. You're offering what the doctors need to do, but they don't do. You're offering what trainers need to do, but they don't do. You're offering what people most want. They want to get back, and you can help them by guiding them in all the areas that we just spoke about. And you typically charge $125 a session three or four times a week. You're doing this for $50 a week. Are you compromising your value? No. Not if you make a bold statement stating exactly what you're doing. Emotionally, you're attached to all these people. You hate it. Man, if you could put this on their television, you would say, I fucking hate what's going to happen to you. Honestly, if you could put that message on their TV and it would show up with your face saying that, that would get their attention. Because I know that's how you feel. If you meet with somebody and they go, well, yeah, I'm going to wait until January because it's the holidays and I can't do anything and I have all the parties and I'm just going to skip breakfast every day because I'm going to try not to gain weight and I drink these shakes. And it bothers you emotionally. You go, no, don't be ridiculous. So out of that part of you, out of that empathetic part of you, because you realize being a pure empath is a weakness, but it still exists. You don't want to be the parasite, yet you don't want to be the empath. You want to be in the middle. So you're going to help the people who want your help. And you realize price sensitive is important right now because it's Christmas and people spend money that they don't have. They're maxing out their credit cards. So you're taking $3,000 that you would have normally received from them and shelving it and going, listen, instead of that, just give me $50 a week. Now, if you want to make the argument, but they need me three times a week, they need me four times a week. No, they don't. They want to get back to where they were. And I ask the question, if you had that 30 minutes once a week, could you? I believe you could. So I see now as a great opportunity. You offer an interview. You don't call it an interview. You call it a consultation. You call it a get back in shape session. You call it being the best you've ever been session. You call it whatever you want, but you offer it for $50, or if you want to read some marketing books by Jay Abraham, you could do it for $47. Between you and me, I think most people know 47 is almost 50, but if it works, 47. So $47, I only have 14 openings because I have blocked out from now through January 15th my calendar. I'm taking on 14 people. I'm committed to help not only make it through the holidays, but I'm going to program them so 2019 is the year that they are thrilled with the way their body looks and feels. And the first session, you think of as the interview the doctor doesn't do. I know many trainers would feel obligated to perform. Like, they're paying me, I got to perform. I got to teach them movement, show them movement, show them how smart I am. No. Remember what I just said about what people really want and what the doctor doesn't do. You're going to be professional and concerned. So the 30-minute interview, you're not calling it that to them, but I want you to think of it that way, is the first 10 minutes you are finding out their pain and their present struggle. If they don't have one, they're not the right person. Because everything I'm talking about applies to people who have a present struggle. So the first 10 minutes is really answering the question, how's it going? Now, earlier, Gary started giving close-ended questions that were yes or no. You know, are you eating healthfully? Yes. We want to ask open-ended questions. We want to get them talking the bulk of these 10 minutes. So a great starting question is, how's it going? It seems ridiculously general, but some people will tell you right out of the gate. They'll start, blah, 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 and they'll tell you.
Or how can I help you?
What's that?
Or how can I help you?
Good. How can I help you? And then if they don't take their part, you know, if they don't grab the microphone and start chatting, then you have to probe a little bit. So then you'll ask some questions. What have you been doing lately? What has that done for you? How's that working? You said you've tried lots of diets. What was the last one you tried? How long did you do it? How'd you feel on it? Yeah, tell me about that. 10 minutes goes really fast, but it's enough for you to expose the pain. The next 10 minutes now is going to the future. Now, I don't want you to say, what's your fitness goal? That's such a lame, overused question that people answer robotically. They'll just go lose weight. So it starts with assuming you get everything that you want moving forward. What specifically would you want to see change in your body and your life? So now 20 minutes in, here's what you have. Somebody who has just spelled out to you, I have a struggle, and I want to get back to where I was in these specific ways. Now you have 10 minutes to prove to them that you're the coach. This is like picking a flower off of, I mean, it's simple. It's just so simple. What is it, taking candy from a baby? That's what this is. It's so simple. It's a formula. They're telling you their pain. They're telling you what they want. Now you're just telling them what they need to do. So the close is we're going to schedule this recurring thing once a week. If you can see them in person, if that makes sense for you, great. You know, Troy, if they come to your facility, fantastic, you know, because it doesn't take you more than the 30 minutes. If you have somebody who geographically is not close to you, you do it by Skype or you do it by Zoom. I don't suggest you do this strategy all year. I wouldn't want you to reduce your rate, and I wouldn't want you to limit yourself to one-on-ones for a funnel. But this time of year, here's what I'm thinking. If the number is 14, you get at least 10 of them to stay on in 2019 at your regular rate, because that's what you're coaching them toward. Let's be honest. They're not likely by January 15th to hug you and go, I got everything I want. Don't need you anymore. And if they do, great. But I would say out of the 14, 10 are staying on. And if those 10 pay you $1,500 a month or $750 a month, that's not bad, increasing your income by $7,000 a month next year. This has come from my last 2 weeks in sitting with doctors and looking at the way they interact with patients. You You know, even functional medicine is becoming a little bastardized. It's becoming a little parasitic. Because now functional medicine doctors have people literally fill out 30 minutes of paperwork, and very often they say download the paperwork from the website and fill it out before you come in. And their staff is very trained to call a week before, did you get your paperwork? Did you fill it all out? So they're always trying to reduce their time. And then they review the paperwork, and where their brain is going, unfortunately, is what supplements can I sell you? Because that's how a lot of functional medicine docs make their money now. Now, is it all of them? No. It's just that doctors are moving into that field because they're so frustrated by the allopathic field right now. So in sitting in this and working in doctors' offices, I'm seeing what I see. And I know when I sit down and do a consultation, I'm not lying to you when I say emotionally they are so touched because they feel like they're being paid attention to. They feel like there's hope. They don't get that from the doctors, even the functional medicine doctors. Again, there are exceptions. You know, I think Mark Hyman is a great doctor. I think Dr. Bleiweiss is a great doctor. You know, there are those who I really have a great respect for because of the way they treat people. But I see the other end of the spectrum too. I see functional medicine doctors go for more and more and more certifications, and now they can take on a different market. They can take people who are sensitive to electromagnetic frequencies. There's actually a class they take for that now. And they say, now we could help them. They don't help them. But I've seen great doctors. I'm just telling you, the opportunity is there because people want to be heard and they want to get back to where they were. So the only thing that will prevent you from capitalizing on this is your absence of confidence, your own self-doubt. And I'm suggesting you get past it. Let me hear some thoughts.
Hey, Phil, I love this idea. It's something I want to do. I have a couple questions real quick. My thoughts are to put this out to people that follow my Facebook page for my business, as well as email blast this to a client list. What should that say, and can you send a template to what this should all say?
I can't, Jim, because it has to come from you. So that's why I'm saying there's an emotion in you. You got to be a little pissed off, not at the person, at the situation. Like, you got to come from that angle of you being so tired of every time the holiday season comes around, you watching people just, like, go to the slaughter. You know, they're just going, can't do it now, can't do it now, got to eat, you know. And they're fattening themselves up. Like, somewhere Jim Beatty's emotion has to come through in this message.
But I think my question is this, right? So as I was listening to this, I jotted down some stuff, right? And, you know, don't get fatter between now and New Year's. Like, don't make another resolution that you're not going to stick to. Like, should that be the message? Or should the message be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it has to come from emotion. That's what I'm saying. You can't bullet point it. Like, if I write the template, it's not going to work without your emotion because they've heard all this before. It has to come from you going, I've seen it, man. I see it every year. I had a client named Mary. She was doing great until Thanksgiving. She came back in January in tears. She gained 14 pounds and felt like she blew everything. You know, it breaks my heart to see people doing that. And I know the excuses. The excuses are, I can't afford it right now. That's why this year I'm doing something different. I took time. I sat with my calendar. I said, how many people can I help? The answer is 14. Why? Because I blocked out 14 spaces in my calendar for me to commit to meet with these people once a week each. So if you want to be one of the 14, I'm not going to charge you my regular rates. You're not going to pay $3,000 for 2 months. We're going to start with an initial consultation for $47. And by the way, if for any reason in the world you don't think it's worth it, it'll cost you nothing. That's what needs to come from you. You want every person who thought about training with you but didn't to respond to this. You want any clients who fell off and they're kind of knowing what's coming, and when they hear you voice it, they're like, I'm crazy not to do this.
Yeah, right on.
Now, of course, you do this by credit card. So when you get the credit card, the we'll call it the close, right? So 10 minutes of talking about the pain, 10 minutes about where they're going, and then the last 10 minutes you're closing. So when you close, you now have their credit card, and you go, I'm going to do this, but it has to be every week. You know, we're going to do it at this time every Thursday at 2 o'clock. And we're going to do a retainer, one session paid in advance, just like you would with any, you know, session. So that's it. You're just billing them now every week, $50, through January 15th. And I would do it through the 15th, not the 1st, because people make their resolution, and it takes them 2 weeks to blow it. So you want to get them safely through this whole trouble period. Does that make sense?
Yep. When is this starting?
Whenever you start it. We're not doing this together. This is I'm sharing an idea with you that I think you should capitalize on. So whenever you start it, I don't think it, now is too soon. I think now is ideal.
I have a question, Phil. What if we're promoting this out, if we decide to promote it, email blast or Facebook post or whatever, what if our existing clients want to tap into this? I mean, how do we prevent
that? They can't. And, you know, you just have to be strong enough to say this is for new clients only. Like,
okay.
The reason you're doing this, Troy, you almost have to make somebody feel like they're being an asshole if they ask. Like, okay. you're really doing this because you care about those people that you're not helping, you know? Like, you want to throw them something to get them in. But come January, they're going to pay your regular rates too.
Sure. Yep.
So I just think they have to understand. It's kind of like if you gave money to charity, your clients couldn't come, why didn't you give money to me? Because my heart went out to these people and I gave to charity. You know, so somewhere there has to be that this is only for new people because out of the goodness of my heart I'm doing this.
You also tell them that they're past that. You're more advanced. You're past that.
Yeah, but Troy makes a good point. If he does have some people who are price sensitive and they might come back and they might go, wait a minute, I'm paying $125, I want to drop to the $50. You have to go, no, it's not for you. This is for new people only. You know, you can certainly say you're past that, but then it becomes an argument. So I just think you just kind of make that line really clear that this is just for new people. You know, it's really remedial, but I'm going to coach them through the holidays. But I'm glad you asked because it's good that you didn't get hit with that unexpectedly. And it's just going to come from confidence. If you answer with confidence, they won't make an issue of it.
Sure. Yep. Okay.
Jim, did you have more questions? You said you had a number of questions.
No, that's it for now.
Okay. So a reduced rate, 30 minutes. I would encourage you, unless they're coming to your facility, to do it remote, you know, by phone or by Skype. I think Skype or Zoom is always a good option because you can actually coach them with exercises if you need to.
To probably do the same
$50 or $47. Now, what I don't want you to get yourself, I don't want you to paint yourself into this corner where the 30 minutes are done and they go, can you send me a routine? And now, like, you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning writing up a routine. I don't want you to do that, but I want you to know you could use my 7-day firestorm, which the program is really working great on many levels. I've got right now 68 people going through the remote one. I have a good group of people going through the live one. I added a second week of it. So the nice thing about this firestorm program is they can just go through it and they could get it for $37. So if you want a template, I'm just telling you that's available to you. But I don't want you to get caught up in feeling like you need to do more. You're giving them 30 minutes and that's what they're getting. And that's why, Gary, when I gave you the example, like your advice in this week might be as simple as have two better meals. It doesn't have to be teaching them everything about everything. And then I'll talk to you next week. You know, keep in mind, in my programs, I start people out with a simple 9-minute routine. So if this is somebody brand new, and I just said, this week I want you to do diaphragmatic breathing in the lumbar taps and 6 push-ups, honestly, that could be enough. So don't paint yourself into that place where now they're calling you every day. What about this? What about that? You make it really clear that this is what they're paying for.
Now, I do have another question after that.
Hold on to that question. Don't forget it. I also want to just say one more thing. What else I would do is if you wind up selling them something more expensive, like let's just say hypothetically somebody goes, no, money's not an issue with me for the holidays. You know, I'm a Muslim. I don't celebrate Christmas. You go, oh, okay, good. Then I'll credit the $50 toward whatever you do. So you could have that leeway too. I don't want you to limit yourself. If they're open to paying your regular rates, good. Give them an incentive. Go ahead, Troy.
Now, so what is it that you're suggesting we do with them in the 30 minutes? Then we're not really training them?
It depends on the individual. In your case, I think you're training them because they're coming to your studio.
Okay.
But I really think this is why the interview becomes really important. It's like I went back to with the doctor. The doctor only medicates them because the doctor doesn't know what else to do because they never even interviewed them to find out what the problems are, right? So your first session should not be a workout. It should really be an interview, and they're paying for that. And at the end of that, if you go, you know what? This person's doing this calisthenics routine in the morning. That's fine. I don't really need to work with them on that, but they're so lost in their nutrition. The next time we meet, we're just going to talk to them about what is a good protein and what is a bad carbohydrate. So whatever you have to do, you're thinking of this as progressive, getting them into January. So in a sense, it's customized. So there are those people who, if you invested the full 30 minutes in a workout, they're not being taught what they need to learn. So you're going to have to gauge it with each person. Does that make sense?
It does, yes. Thank
you. Are you comfortable with that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Good. Anyone else? Thoughts, comments, questions? Okay, so for you, because we had not the last call but the one before when I spoke about power and influence, there are two influence points. One is you got to get them on the call, so you got to convince them to pay the $50. And the second is you got to get them to commit to your next step. So those are the two things that you have to do, and there's no getting around it. So if you're going to look for an easy way where you don't have to do those things, it's not going to work. You have to do these two things. You have to get them on the call and pay $50, and then you have to get them to commit to your next step. So the influence part is going to come from your emotion and your certainty that this is best for them. If somebody is trying to just wiggle out of it, then honestly, they're not the right one. If you're only choosing 14, then you could be selective. And by the way, if you get to 14 and you decide you want 14 more, you could open that door too. But I just think it's reasonable. If you do the math and you go, what can I do right now to ensure that I'm going to have some money coming in through the holidays and also that I'm going to get myself 10 new clients come January, I think this is it. You're going to talk also your future pacing, talking about 2019, not New Year's. The reason is, you know, you've all had clients who they want to get in shape for the reunion or the wedding, and then the wedding passes and they never come back. So you don't want to make it about a day. You want to make it about a journey. So the whole idea here is you're helping them navigate the maze through the holidays so that they can gain complete control in 2019. They're going to get their energy back. They're going to get their muscle back. They're going to get their metabolism back. All the things they used to have, they're coming back in 2019. You're working out an affordable plan. And so they don't get a sense that this is going on forever. I think it's important that you give them that January 15th date. But not that it's an end. I would say something like January 15th will be a milestone because that's the point where everybody has blown their resolution. So on January 15th, we will sit down and assess together. And if you decide that you're great and you got this on your own, beautiful, I did my job. So they have in their mind that you're going to reassess come January 15th. Well, January 15th works the other way too. This offer is done. So at that point, they've made some progress. They're feeling good. They trust you as their coach. And now you're going to guide them to the next step in your program. So you plant that seed by going, we're going to reassess then. Okay? I think you have enough. So now it's just up to you to do it. And if a voice in your head starts to ask a million questions and you get stuck, shut up that voice in your head and do it anyway. All right, Jim, do you want to share anything now about what you're going through right now? If you don't, that's okay. If you do, we could maybe share some light.
Sure. We've had a corporate contract with the national company for the last 14 or 15 years. The company has grown quite a bit, and they need the fitness center space. So we are in the midst of going through them breaking the contract and closing down the fitness center. So we're basically.
So this was just to. So this was $65,000 a year that you were guaranteed, right? Because it wasn't
correct.
A membership based; it was a contract.
Correct.
For 14 years, you had this, and it just became a part of your earnings, and suddenly it just went away, right?
It was great because it was like a security blanket that every first of the month we had a paycheck that came in from them that we paid out our people, and then it kind of gave me the freedom to make the studio training kind of whatever I could make it.
Mm-hmm.
So the security blanket kind of is like going away a little bit from there. Kind of how it was handled, the timing of it and whatnot. One of our people heard, like, kind of caught wind of it and took a new job. And we hired a new person without them, like, without even knowing any of this. And then literally on the third day of her employment was when I got word. So I still have to, and it's a good person too. So we want to keep her. So I want to try to get her involved with the studio as much as we can. So we're just kind of in this, like, in-between place of, you know, head spinning a little bit from like, okay, what are we going to do now to, so the other piece of this is that our studio leases up at the end of February. So we can renew for another year. We can renew for another 2 years. We can walk away. We can do whatever we really want. So we're kind of in this place of, you know, what's the best thing to do right now from, you know, the business standpoint, from a financial standpoint, the whole bit.
Have you made any headway legally in terms of insights, in terms of knowing where you stand and what your opportunities are legally?
Our attorneys have spoken with theirs. They're listening. They're aware that there's a contract, I believe, that goes at least until May, I believe. There's some discrepancy. It might go till September. It might go longer than that. It's a question of so they asked me for a new contract at the beginning of February. I wrote them up one for 3 years, of which I gave to them signed, and then they never gave it back despite my asking for it several times. So it was, can I get a copy of that contract? And it was, oh, yeah, it's up in legal.
Do you think that was strategic on their part?
I do.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether they signed it. Like, no one has seen that contract. I don't know whether they signed it. I tend to think they didn't, but they certainly didn't tell us either that they didn't sign it. So I've been speaking to some people there in the business world, and he said, you know, there's certain laws and whatnot that are, you know, operating under a goodwill type thing and under good faith and certain things
right.
like that. So things are kind of up in the air. Our lawyer right now is not telling them what we want. He's waiting to see what they offer as compensation for breaking the contract.
Okay. Good. Do you feel confident in your lawyer? He understands. He's in your corner.
Yeah.
And he's,
yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And actually, he is a client also, and he's also really good friends with another client who I've trained for probably 18 years. And this guy has used him before in the past, and he said he actually had to ask him to back off at some points because he was just bulldogging
people. Yeah.
So I'm confident that he has our best interest at hand, and he's gonna do a good job. So that's kind of where that piece is. I'm going to say something else. I don't know. I lost it at the moment.
Okay. So my thinking in a case like this is always, where's the opportunity?
Yeah.
And it was interesting because it aligned with me sharing what I'm doing and what I came back from that medical conference with in terms of insight. And I just see a huge opportunity. And I said to Jim, I would even consider partnering. If you want my help, I'll come up there and negotiate a deal with you with a doctor. I mean, I love, love, love this opportunity. Let me tell you what I have going on. I have one facility in Fort Lauderdale where most of their revenue is from IVs. So they do, it's called a Myers cocktail. It's a vitamin C and a whole bunch of vitamins and minerals. And it's for everything from people getting colds and the flu to a hangover, honestly. They do a lot of glutathione, which I'm a huge fan of. And they do have patients who have everything from MS to Parkinson's that come in for treatments. So there's a lot of repeat business because some people come in for their IVs 3 times a week. and they have 10 big, comfortable chairs, each with its own TV, and people sit there, and it's a little social, and they do their thing. The doctor historically has cut back on hours because as the IV business goes up, it's sort of like, I don't have to be here in the places making money. Well, what happened is the doctor backed off on hours, and a little at a time, the IV started going down, and the new patient started going down. So it was just perfect timing for me to come in. And they have treatment rooms in the back that are not being used. So I spoke to one of the partners. He's not a doctor. He's a business guy. And I went to lunch with him and the physician, the MD. And we agreed that we will knock out two walls. We will take a 560-square-foot space and turn it into a training studio. And we're going to do this as soon as next week. So this is how fast these things happen. And I didn't have this deal when I was in Chicago. This really just came out of my recognition of this opportunity.
Nice.
The MD is a part owner in a physical therapy center that has an integrative medicine component up in North Palm Beach. And he said, I think we have an extra 400 square feet in there. That's just, we're using it for storage. You want to come up and take a look? Took a look. I spoke to the owner there. We have a meeting on Tuesday, and they want to do the same thing. So I'm just telling you, like, this is not just me making stuff up. I see what's happening in these medical businesses. They're not generating revenue on their square footage. I'm not saying they're all dying. They're not. Many are doing well. But they have dead space. They have high costs. They're based on an insurance model, and they make about $20 to $45 on a patient. So it's high volume. The front desk is very stressed. It's just moving people through. It's not a great business model. So for you to come in and add a service where you do even $150 for a consultation, why would they not? This is the thing I want you to understand. Why would they not refer patients to you? It's not insurance. If they go, will insurance cover it? No. But you got to do a consultation with the fitness guy. He's going to get you on a program that's going to lower your blood sugar. Okay. Yeah, it's only $150. Why would they not do that? Because they took dead space, they gave it to you, and you're generating, if you do a 50-50 split, $75 for them every time you see somebody. Not only that, but over time, my intention is I'm going to do live seminars in there and build their business for me and for them. So I'm not only getting paid what I'm getting paid, I'm getting a percentage of the increase in revenue. So I'm just telling you, I know you guys could look at this and go, well, you could do that because, no, you guys can do it too. Maybe not tomorrow. But if you find the right doctor in the right place, I'll help you with it. And you don't need me. I'm just saying if you want, because it's such a perfect model. What's important to understand, though, is you become the guy who makes it work. Like, it's not like you're just going to expect you're going to show up and they're going to have eight patients for you. You've got to be there. You know, you've got to be around. They've got to see your intention. They've got to see your commitment. You know, if you're in the place and there's a patient leaving and they go, hey, Joanne, I want you to meet with Jim, you know, you got to be around enough for that to happen until the business starts to really grow. And then my intention is I'm bringing in one trainer initially. So we will set people up on training programs. And then I hope to grow it to three trainers in each facility. This came out of nowhere, and my financial investment in these facilities is $0.00.
You pay
rent. Unbelievable. This is why when I was telling you about it, I'm like, guys, I never saw this opportunity before, but I realized I could now walk into almost any standard family practice medical office, and by the end of our conversation, they'll agree to give me an office in there. And I'm not kidding. Why would they not?
So question. First, here's a compliment. I mean, that's very nicely done. Secondly, where's your equipment coming from? Because that's what I was going to tell you too. Part of this, like, settlement or whatever we're going to call it, I will probably inherit the equipment from this place.
Yeah, I think that's great.
I'm not worried about that, but I'm thinking where's yours coming from?
I'm buying it from you. No, I'm kidding. no, a part of there are two things that I insisted on is that they take $20,000 in capital. This is not coming out of profit. This is purely investing into the business, that they take $20,000, and the $20,000 will be set up as a five-year loan toward the revenue generated. So when I'm taking a percentage of the revenue, the loan gets paid first. So really, assuming this works, it costs them nothing. But they're financing $20,000 toward the space conversion. And one of them, the landlord's doing the knocking out the walls. So they agreed to sign another two-year lease if the landlord would do the renovation. So they are. But they're going to invest in the equipment and in the initial marketing. So that's what the $20,000 is for. I want to run some radio ads. I want to do some social media posts. So they had to agree to put $20,000 toward the furnishing of the space. But I just anticipate having a treadmill, an elliptical, and then just bands and balls, maybe a bench and a small dumbbell rack or power blocks. That's all I need right now.
Well.
And Jim, if I had a gym full of equipment like you do, I would have more versatility. I could go into, you know, some of these massive centers. So the fact that you have equipment you could bring, I think that's a big bargaining tool. So I would want that. I think that's great leverage. What I'm doing is just a 560-square-foot space. But, I mean, when you start to explore all of the medical places out there, I mean, where was I? I was just in Chicago, and I saw, like, all of these single-purpose huge buildings, you know, one for thyroid, I can't remember what the women's issues, where they get this really big space, and they have a lot of empty space. My dentist's office has 1,200 square feet of vacant space next door. Every time I go there, they go, do you know anybody? And now I'm thinking of going, well, yeah. So I think the equipment will be an asset. I think you could look bigger than I was. You can't make a lot of money reselling used commercial equipment anymore. I mean, there was a time you could. You really can't. But with that said, you could sell it. You're just not going to get anywhere near the true value. But you can ultimately sell it. So either way, I would negotiate that that's yours. They have no use for it if they're shutting down their fitness center.
Correct.
But I think you're going to land in a good place. You know, it doesn't have to be the medical world, but I just think there's no better time and no better opportunity. And even if you wind up consolidating your studio, you know, moving all your business into there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thought too.
I'm suggesting they give you the space and you don't pay rent. Keep in mind, I want to tell you again, if you want to write down the number of what I'm paying, $0.00.
I wrote it down.
Okay, good. If you want to go in, you can say, this is what my mentor said I should spend. Here's the number, $0.00. All right, good. I hope you'll act on something that I said today because I'm giving you a lot of opportunity here. I don't want your doubt to limit you. I want you to realize you're very capable of this. Is every personal trainer? No. But is everybody in this group? Yeah. Yeah, you're such a forward thinker compared to the rest of the field. And sometimes I think what you want to do is look around and see others doing it, and that's the weakness is, no, you're an innovator and a pioneer, but I'm laying the groundwork for you. You just have to have the balls to do it. All right, thoughts, comments, questions about anything at all? Tony, are you here?
Yep, I'm here.
Tammy, did Tammy make it? Yeah, here. Velma? Okay, go ahead, question.
Yeah, well, I see the same thing. I have a good friend who's a cosmetic surgeon. We've been talking about getting together for such a long time, and it just, you know, just hasn't manifested. But it's
what's all that noise?
Okay, that's probably, hold on, that's probably my phone. Hold on.
How about now? Any better?
Yeah,
much better.
Yeah, all right, thank you. So, well, my friend who's a cosmetic surgeon, we've been talking about that for a long period of time, and we've been talking, I think I mentioned this to you some time ago about that. So I see the possibility there. As a matter of fact, we were talking about the possibility with the same physician that just signed up with Thrive last week too, and she's trying to work that. She's been trying to work that out with us for the longest period of time. I mean, she's using me as a referral, but she wants it to be more of a one-stop shop situation, and that functional medicine thing is really working for her. And the vitamin push, and the other thing, what was it again?
Glutathione.
The glutathione, yeah, she's doing that heavy. As a matter of fact, she's saying that that's becoming a bigger part of her business.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. It cost about $12 for a singular dose of what we'd typically give an adult in glutathione. It costs about $12, and we charge $75. Mm. So there's a nice profit margin there. So it's really good, especially if you have repeat business. So I should qualify that the model that I'm talking about really requires that functional medicine component. I mean, if you're going to just try to match your business with an MD who stays in the flawed insurance model, you're going to get frustrated. But if you're willing to do that, just realize that if I sit down with somebody and we talk about antioxidants and I go, as a matter of fact, you can get your glutathione right here. And they go, yeah. They walk out. They sign up. I'm sharing in that profit. But we're charging $75 with a $12 cost. And a Myers cocktail costs about $30, and we, again, sell it for about $90. So there's a nice profit there. So you want to have the doctor who's doing those ancillary services too. And I'll add one more thing that's really beneficial for them. The doctor doesn't even have to be present. It can be done by a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant or even a paramedic. So there's a lot of opportunity that you bring if you bring this element in. You can't bring in the IVs, but you've got to have a doctor who's open to doing that. So she does that, correct?
Yes, she
Tony?
Does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and by the way, and I mentioned this on the last time I spoke about this, it leads all the way up to the potential of PRP and ultimately stem cells. And then there's a massive profit margin. So, you know, for you to lead them down this road, it's just an immense opportunity that I never saw before. But I see it now so clearly. I just see doctors frozen in the existing system. And I have a remedy. And I'm sharing it with you. So it might seem overly simplistic, but it is. I see where their limitation is. I see the opportunity. I don't have to worry about insurance. Every time I go to one of these, you know, fitness conferences, somebody is still lobbying to get insurance to cover personal trainers. And I just want to shake them and go, no, we don't want that, guys. Stop that. We don't want that. There's this illusion that, you know, if insurance will pay, we don't have to sell anymore. But no, it'll completely cannibalize our profits. So we don't want that. So it's nice that we could be in a model where they can take insurance for medical things, but now what we charge, we can justify the cash outlay. We're not charging like $5,000 for treatment like an MRI would be. We're charging $150 for a consultation. And oddly enough, they make more money on that than they make on the MRI because of insurance. All right. Are you guys getting it? Like, did I share enough that you're getting it? Or is anybody sitting there going, I still don't know what you're talking about, Phil?
You know, I'm getting it. And I'm finding that I remember some years ago when it was doing free consultations. I don't know how long ago that was, but it was a long time ago. And I remember saying, okay, I don't know if it was a conversation with you or some other one where it was like, no, you can't just charge for the consultation. I mean, you can't give the consultation for free because it has no value. Then I started charging for the consultation less than what the session was, and people find it no problem. Then I started charging the session price. People started doing it no problem. Then I started charging more for the consultation than the session price, and it was once you got the person there ready, it was expected.
Right.
And they looked at it as having even greater value than the session. And then also, obviously with time goes by, being able to deliver more value and for people to find it, like, indispensable. I mean, it really is like the audition to the relationship. I mean, I just did one just recently with someone who said, okay, and I'm not even training her, someone who said they wanted to come in and train for 90 minutes. And once we did, you know, movement screens and all the rest of the stuff, she was like, wow. Like, no, we got to fix other stuff going on, but way before we got to that point. But right away from that first evaluation, it was like she was sold. She goes, I'm here for the next 6 months at least, because she didn't realize how broken she was, really.
Yeah. And, Tony, all of these things are lessons that you learned experientially. But had you just acted on faith from the day one, you would have been in the same place sooner.
Yeah. I didn't know what he did.
Right? No. But now you do. And that's why I'm saying, like, I don't want you to have to wait to do this thing. Like, if you're listening and use the opportunity, like, move on it. And even if you're not sure, bring me in. I don't mind flying up to New York to meet with a doctor if you have the potential of this relationship. I mean, yeah. I would love to, between us, have, you know, 10 or 12 facilities where we're all doing the same thing. I mean, it's powerful, man, not only for the doctor, but what a great opportunity to see. You know, I've been doing this now for years where I can get labs for – that was my initial interest, is when I started the Alive program, I wanted to connect with a doctor so that we could get labs. That was really my only interest. But it brought me into the world of medicine. It brought me into hospitals, and I started to understand. And what I'm seeing now is so clear. The patient's not getting what the patient wants. The doctor's not getting what the doctor wants. The insurance model and the drug companies are ruling the whole thing. And ultimately, there's an opportunity for you to come in and rescue the doctor. Oh, and by the way, the patients too.
Well, and that's very interesting too, because I had clients that I was preparing for knee surgery. And we were working towards, you know, we knew he was going to have the knee surgery. He wanted to have double knee surgery. And then I have a relationship with a physical therapy company. And I was able to connect that, because when he was leaving after surgery, he went to intensive care. So he was at a facility for 2 weeks. Then they gave him this long list of places to go. And he contacted me. He said, well, he goes, I'm lost. Like, what do I do? He was so happy that I was able to broker that thing, because he didn't know what to do. So, again, I was that pinpoint person to be able to connect the dots for him. So, like, as you're saying, I mean, the opportunity is definitely out there. And what we do definitely has value.
Good. I believe you.
Phil, how do you go about finding the right doctor?
You know what? I really think at a certain point it becomes a search. I think it really becomes a mission, and it's really like driving down streets and opening doors and meeting the receptionist, finding out what the practice is like. Honestly, in your case, that's what I would do. For me, because I've been so connected with medicine, I really have a good network of, you know, doctor friends, colleagues. So it isn't hard for me. I know most of the functional medicine doctors in the area, not all, but most. So I've kind of earned that, and I think you've got to start doing that. But for now, because you have a specific need, I don't think there's a list. I think it's just really driving around and looking for the place. It's not even like a networking thing. You just need the facility that has a doctor in there working the insurance model who has space that isn't getting them a return. That's it. That's what you need.
I mean, also, the other thing is to think about any of your clients that may need assistance. I mean, that's how I ended up with the doctor that I'm networking with now, because it was someone that needed assistance, and I was able to help to, you know, it was the woman who works for me, and when she was telling me about her, it was, you know, I kind of went and introduced myself. I said, listen, I have some people who may be interested in the services that you render. We've been able to send her a few people, but, like, there's going to be no doctor, I don't think, that's going to be, like, you know, I want to turn patients away.
Yeah, you know what?
Anatomy.
I can go all the way back to when I worked at the athletic club at Weston. So this is a really long time ago. And I remember every time that somebody would come in, because Tony Abbott told me that you need to talk to their doctors. And I was a relatively young personal trainer. I was like, the doctors don't want to talk to me. And he gave me all of the reasons why I must. So I would talk to every doctor. I sent them like the standard forms by fax, you know, and what I found is the more I believed that the doctors would talk to me, the more they did. And that was a huge lesson for me that led me to a place where I started to see the doctors as peers. So, yeah, I agree with Tony that any of your clients that have issues, you should talk to their doctor, and that doctor becomes a resource. With that said, in Jim's case, because he has a deadline and he specifically needs a building to come with the doctor, you know, I would do everything. I would network. I would ask my clients. But in the meantime, I would drive around Philadelphia and really just take a look at every medical space. because that's what you need. It's almost like if you, you know, if you're looking to move into a new city and you want to open a gym, you're going to drive around and look at real estate. You're just kind of tuning your RAS on family practices. You know, just look at them. Just walk in and look at them. And who's the owner? Who's the doctor? You know, who's the MD? And I know that's not pleasant, Jim, but you have a unique circumstance.
Yeah, right.
And I think if you see it as opportunity, then you do what you have to do. And you might land in a great, great, great place. Good. Anything else from anybody? Patrick?
Yes, sir.
You feeling good?
Yeah, it's really good. I love that 30-minute coaching. It's great. And with the doctors, with the office, that's beautiful. Kind of pissed off I didn't think about that.
All right. Nice to have you back on the call.
That's great. That's exciting.
Troy,
thank
you're good?
Good, Patrick.
I'm good.
What's up, Patrick?
How you doing, guys? Good to see you. Good to hear from you. Good to be
back.
Hey, Phil. It's Tammy. I made it.
Hello, Tammy. When did you get here?
I think I got on like 10 minutes after.
Okay, so you heard the whole thing about the 30-minute interview and the whole thing about the medical facility, right?
Yeah, but I need to go back and listen to it.
Okay, I'll get the recording posted tonight.
Okay.
All right, guys. It's a good one. Until we speak again, be better, everybody. Bye-bye.